I have new technology where you could see me and the thing in the same time. So.
Oh man, he gets more advanced every time.
No tricks.
Yeah, that's impressive.
Like this. Okay. You want to know how to do it? I'll teach you the secrets also. Anyway. Yes, we're doing Ashiata. So basically, just to for like a general orientation in space, we had this whole like structure. There's a whole thing called Birch Sashaka. Now Birch Sashaka are pretty important because I like them actually, but it's another discussion. But it's like very simple, very it's kind of like the originally, and the Arizal himself like kind of goes with that it was meant to just be said as you roll out of bed, right? So like, and each move you get another bracha. Like you open your eyes, you get chivrin and so on. We discussed this already once. Anyways, now there is a counter that there's 18 birchas hashacha, starting from Hanais and Nasechvi until the end of Birchas HaTorah, right, going with his order, which is also the Chabad order and the Sfari order, I think. But they'd have Birchas HaTorah after the rest of the brachos. And the regular Sfarad said the Birchas HaTorah before that. Anyways, he counted 18 brachos. I think it adds up from Hanais and Nasechvi until the end of Birchas HaTorah. But then he had three more brachos which precede these. And he kind of made a chilek in halacha. Someone actually asked me last week about this. It seems like the Arizal holds that the 18 brachas are all on Darkei Shloim, which we discussed, meaning that like it's just a daily structure. You say them every day, no matter if it's true or not. In other words, no matter if it's true for you personally or not, whether you did sleep or you didn't sleep, and so on. Masha Enken, these three brachas, the Arizal seems to hold that you only say them if you actually slept. And say Ashiyatzar would only be if you actually use the bathroom. This is actually unlike most Paskim think that Ashiyatzar from the morning you could say, well, if you slept, I don't know if you didn't sleep, but even if you didn't use the bathroom, because it's just could be talking about just the creation of the person in the morning. But anyways, that these three he sees like as a different, a kind of part of a different structure or higher structure than that. And generally, if we have these 18 brachas, he said it's the same sod of 18, which we have in Yichvod, but we have in different places 18. And what it says over there is that 18 is 9 spheres of Zah. There's 9 spheres of Mata Lamala, 9 Lamata Mala Lamata. However, we get to 18, but it's basically the Zah is this 18. Now, these three he calls the, so everyone knows that Zah is Zvak, is the seven lower spheres generally. And now these three. First three brachas, which are Al Netilas Yadayim, Asher Yotzar, and Lekai Neshama, he calls the three Shalosh Rishayinos. In other words, Kesach Chachma Bina. And therefore, what we already discussed last time, we discussed the Kavana of Al Netilas Yadayim, how it connects to has 13 words in it, which are correspond to Yid Gun Vida Sherechmim, which are an aspect of Keser always. So it's Arich. Now, although we're in Olam Asiyah, so it must be Arech Da'asiyah, not like the Arech of Atzilus, but at least it's a level of Keser known in Arivul as Arech Anpin. And his basic understanding of that was that the Netilas Yadayim is purifying the Gvuras of your hands, which get Mitikan, Nimtak, Alideha, Chsudim, which come from the Zidlam Midas Sharachman. So then, in that sense, Netilas Yadayim is Keser. And then we're left with these other two brachas, which must be Chachma and Bina. So Ashi Yotza must be Chachma and Elikai Neshama must be Bina. And we have to understand how those match. And generally, we already saw earlier that there's, at least for these two brachas, the two first ones, which are Anatlas Yadayim and Ashi Yotza, there's kind of two different kavanas, which in the Rashash people will make entire confusions about it. But in the most simple sense, there's two different ideas that the Rizal has about them. One seems to be about the actual action of washing your hands or about using the bathroom. And we already learned that there's a whole thing with Al Netilas Yadayim, which has to do with Gvuras and the on your hand. Actually, in the Perucha, he also said something similar, but over there, for example, we didn't talk about Yidgum with the Sharachmim and all of that. So that's like something that has to do with the Perucha. But with the actual action has to do with what we call Yifna Ve'idol Yodov, which is the Yitlas Yidayim has to do with certain kind of Gviris, and Yifna has to do with other kind of Gviris. In other words, it has to do with the whole story that he discussed, that there's two kinds of, remember the Sod of Yifna, that there's two kinds of klippis and dina, and one is from the dikna, one is from the saris harosh, and the ones that correspond to the saris hadikna are called the gedolim, or the moistras of them are called gedolim. The one that come from their hair are called ktanim, and that's the secret of Yifna. And we discussed it a little bit over there. Now we get to the bracha on Yifna. He kind of disregards that whole subject, and he has his new kavana, and we have to think about how they connect or if they connect. But anyways, his new kavana is based on the bracha, like the translation or the meaning of the bracha as the yotzer, and he kind of does this. So I'm going to read. He's going to go through the whole bracha and literally translate each word or almost each word of Pikabala. And from that, we'll understand what it's about. So firstly, it's connected to Abba Sheba El Masih in general, just like we just said. So Arich is Anatlas Yidayim, Ashi Yotzar is Abba, El Hayin Hashemah is Binah. So actually, Anatlas Yidayim, how it's Arich, we already saw that it's 13 words. El Hayin Hashemah, you could actually pretty obviously see that it's Binah, because everyone knows that Neshama is the level of Binah, right? We have Naran Chay, Nefesh Malchus, Ruach Zah, Neshama Binah, Chaya, Chachma, Yichidah Keses, so Neshama has Binah, so that kind of makes sense. That is actually also says, and we're going to get to that, I'm just showing you that the structure, that Elihai Neshama is called the Bracha Asmicha L'Chavita, right? It doesn't start with Berich, because it's kind of like using the Berich of the Ashi Yotzar. That's why if you don't use the bathroom, you get into a problem, because that's why you'll be most Paskim, you should say it anyways. But anyways, it's Smicha L'Chavita, just like the Binah is always Smicha L'Abba. So we know that we have a rule that Abba ve'im are always connected, so it's this like set of brachas corresponds to that. But now, how is Ashi Yotzer Abba? So he kind of seems to struggle to show an obvious way of where Ashi Yotzer is Chachma. He says, firstly, it has 45 words. Yesh b'mim ha'etayves k'mispar Adam shehi Chachma Abba. So he's trying to read Ashi Yotzer as Adam. The Adam should be Chachma, although generally we know Adam to be Zah, but he wants to read Adam as Chachma. And we know that Chachma has to do with Ma. Again, Ma is usually the Zohar also. But the Zohar, the Tekinim says that Chachma is Koyach Ma. So Ma would be the 45 words. And I found someone that counted them. So but I have to move myself away. And anyways, it's not working. Oh. So here you have 45 words. You could count that. According to whichever Nusach, this should be the correct way of having 45 words. Anyways, so you have 45 words, which is the Shema, which is the Odom, actually, that Ashi Yotzer Es Odom is like these 45 words of the Birchas Ashi Yotzer. So that's his first like remez of Ashi Yotzer. And actually, the better way is where it continues and says Bechachma. So the Odom was not Yotzer Bechachma. So even if we would have a simpler reading, I would say that Odom is not the Chachma itself, which he seems to say here. We would say Adam is the Teferis, or however, or maybe the person, the actual human being. You could still see how it's Chachma, because it's Ashi Yotzer Es Adam, the Chachma, right? That's like, I don't know why he needed to make it so such a Deichek. Could have just said it easier. Zeresh Kosev, Ashi Yotzer Es Adam, the Chachma. Ki Mesoy Da Chachma Al Yayin, and Oitzer Zeh Adam Shenir Mazbay. He doesn't really say who is this Adam. So in other words, he seems to say that this Adam is the Chachma. In other words, the Abba of Olam Asiya. And this Chachma was made from Chachma Elyayna. Because, and this is important to him, because when we're in Olam Asiya now, but the Chachma from Olam Asiya and all the spheres from Olam Asiya are not, they didn't start there. They actually, the Zohar calls it like a stamp, right? As if the Olam Atzilis, well, it's a whole bunch of stampings, or we could think of differences exactly, but like as if the Yetzira, for example, stamped itself into the Olam HaAsiya and so on. So this Chachma from Olam HaAsiya is really the Chachma. It goes back to the Chachma of Atzilus, but definitely at least to the Chachma of Yetzirah. And that's what he wants. He reads, Asher yotzar es Adam Chachma. So he's noticing that it's Loshen Yetzirah. And however, we're in Olam Asiyah. The Adam that we're talking about is obviously the Adam from Olam Asiyah. So we're going to say, Lefisha Yetzirah kedemes el Asiyah. Lezama Asher yotzar es Adam. Kildeatz Yetzirah nasas Asiyah. So Asher yotzar es Adam is actually referring to something higher than where we are right now, because it's saying, it's thanking or praising the one that Yotzar es Adam. In other words, that this Chachma of Asiyah is really from Yetzirah and so on. Now, actually, I'm gonna just show you what is kind of the structure that he's showing, that he's aiming at. If you read the bracha, it goes like this: Asher Yotzar. So, if you remember the Atzilus Bere Yetzirah Asiyah, you could actually see them all in this bracha, but backwards. So, well, somewhat. If we will see, it says Asher Yotzar es Adam bechachma, right? So that's Yetzirah. Then Uvarava in Nekovim, blah blah blah. That's Bria, right? Then it says Golav Yodia Lefnei Kiseich Vedecha. The Israel wants to read that, so everyone knows that Kisek Vedecha is a name of Olam Abriya. So we want to say Lefne Kisek Vedecha is before the Kisek Vedecha. So that's Olam Atzilus. And then we get to the end, it says Imafli Lasos. That's where we have the language of Asiyah in this. But really, the whole thing starts with Asiyah. So it's kind of like standing in Asiyah and saying, well, I'm from Yetzirah, which is from Bria, which is from Lefne Kisek Vedecha. So that's his four world structure in this little bracha. So that's the first, that the most general structure that he has here, but he doesn't show the general structure. He's more into showing every detail. So then he wants to explain you how, next thing he wants to explain is how it says Ashiyotas Adam Chachma Vodavai and etc. Vodavai Nekovim. So why would this be Bria? So his explanation is kind of weird. Nobody really understands it, but this is what it says. So in other words, what he says is something like this. He has a very interesting way of reading. And it covers. So in other words, we're assuming that this is Olam Asiyah, and maybe even more precisely Abad Asiyah. But let's kind of skip that part because it's confusing us. But we say this is Olam Asiyah. Now in the Olam Asiyah, there's not only Asiyah Sheb Asiyah, right? There's not only the actions and the actual Asiyah of Asiyah. There's also Moichan Olam Asiyah. There's also Gar Olam Asiyah. There's also Chachma and Bina and Das Olam Asiyah. And in general, this is kind of complicated because it should be called. So now everyone knows that in Olam Asiyah, just like in the Klal and the Pratas also, the Asiyah of Asiyah, in other words, the Malchus of Asiyah is called Asiyah Sheb Asiyah. The Vak or the Zah of Asiyah, right? The Midas of Asiyah would be called Yetzirah Sheb Asiyah. And the Bina of Asiyah would be called Bria Sheb Asiyah, right? And then the Chachma of Asiyah should be called Atzilus Sheb Asiyah and so on. But he kind of skips the differentiation between Bina and Chachma and Keser, and that makes some kind of sense because there's like the big difference is between the seven lower ones and the three higher ones. And the first, once you pass the stage of Zayin Tachtonis of Zayin, you're in Bina. In other words, you're in Olam Abriya. And it seems to be important to him to show that in the Olam Asiyah, which is where we got out of the bathroom, right? We're like really in Olam Asiyah. And in that Olam Asiyah, there's Ivara Voy. Inside the view, there's also a Bria. In other words, there's already Bina. Not only Bina, there's actually Chachma, which is seen through the Bina, if you want to read it like that. It's the Chachma. It should really be that Silas Shabbasiyah. But so that's Ivara Voy. Inside the Asiyah, there's Bria Shabbasiyah. So Ivara Voy equals Bria Shabbasiyah. Okay, so now, and just so I'll show you, he went backwards because I showed you the order of the four olamas. So if you go in the end, he says, Bimasha Kosav, he kind of went back because he got distracted by explaining the Nekovim Nekovim, which we'll get to in a minute. But if you'll see in the end, Bimasha Kosav, Golev Yudhuya Lefna Kisech Vedecha, Olam Atzilas Ashi Yoyse Pnimim Kisei Akovat Shabriya, Zeshe Kosav Lefna Kisech Vedecha. In other words, it's known before the Kisek Vedecha. So before the Kisek Vedecha, he doesn't read like someone standing before the Kisek Kavod, which is a simple pshat, but he reads it as someone like the Balatani loves this kind of reading, right? Lifnei Avaya, before the Shem Avaya, and so on. לפני כזה כבדה יכול להיות before the כזה הכבד, in other words, נועד למציאס, משם נגלם ונדיאם בכנס הנקובים האלה. So we'll go back to explain what the nekovim is, but I'm just showing you that we get to the fourth olam asa. And actually, if we want to continue what we were saying, we would have to say that there are some olam asilas in olam asiya asa, right? Since even though I'm standing in olam asiya, it's still good to be a deal if nekizeh v'decha. Okay, so that's the... Right, I've always thought that this is very... a very cool idea, because this guy walks out of the bathroom and he's just thinking about the lifnei kisek v'decha. Like, if there's one bracha and all the bichas shachar, all and bichas in hand, and all of these are on very simple things, none of them talk about the kisek hakavod. I mean,
the throne.
Yeah, the throne of glory. And but if you go to the bathroom, that's what you should be thinking about. Yeah.
Well, first you're sitting on the throne of glory, and then you're thinking about the throne of
yeah.
glory.
Well, this is we're gonna get to this. The Arizal kind of skips that part. Like I said, earlier in the previous chat, he talked about how the actual going to the bathroom is a whole sad. And here he kind of skips that. He talks only about higher sad. And I'm pretty sure that it's on purpose because he's not comfortable with that. But he really means that also. We'll see. I think we discussed that earlier in the shir that got deleted or that was never recorded. That was about the ifna itself. Now the main... Maybe the main meat of this bracha is this whole piece where it says "Gulav yodeh lefnei kisek v'decha she'im yisosimech memayil pasechach memayef shaleskayim aflisha echas." Right? This is actually, I think, the simple reading of it is that it's a kind of apology. It's an apology for being human, since humans are generally ashamed of their self being human, at least when they go to daven or when they're like, you know, standing before God. And one of the things that shames humans a lot for some reason is going to the bathroom. I have no idea why. Like, why is that a bad thing? Like, why is that the worst human thing? I don't know. I mean, but anyways, I mean, I could give you pshat, but it's like not something very rational. And therefore, that's the simple pshat. So you're kind of like saying, well, I'm sorry because I'm a God. I know that you're a God, but like, this is the reality. I can't live without this. You know, if some one thing goes wrong, then I'm dead. So, you know. Just accept it. That's it also says in my proof that that's the pshat is that there's halacha and sechtes brachas about that's the literal reading of this sentence. So that's the pshat, and it also it says in halachas shetvila that if you have some kind of what's it called? If there's some bad smell that goes out of you during davening and you can't avoid it, so what you do is you just let it happen and then you say. Something similar to this language, or basically this language without a bracha. So in other words, you know, it's not proper to do this, but we're human and we can't live otherwise. Now, anyways, that's the simple pshat. I don't know why I said the simple pshat, just so you should know. Maybe it connects to the... Now, the Arizal has his own pshat, and it says like this. Not simple pshat. Nekovim Eile, so he kind of skips the Nekovim, the literal, the basic pshat of Nekovim, which means the, you know, the intestines or whatever the exact meaning of it is. And he says that these Nekovim, hem b'china zayin Nekovim sheberosh adam, shehi abba, kaniska barayim hem neparsa shvatam. So of course, the adam of here, he assumes to be abba, for whatever, like we said. Now, in the head of a person, we learn in Reim hem neparsa shvatam, that Reim Hemne is actually one of the books of the Zohar that's very interested in anatomy. He loves talking about different parts of the body and how they correspond to the spheres. And I didn't look it up now, but one of the things he says is that there's seven holes in a person's skull, right? So in the Gagalta, there's seven openings, right? Two eyes, two ears, two noses, two sides of your nose, and one mouth. So that's seven holes in the head. And Vemsat Shiva, it says Shiva de Galgalta, it should say Shiva Chalile de Galgalta. I think that's it's missing a word so for some reason, or at least he means that. Now, what is this about? What is this? What are these holes? So generally we know in Olam Atzilus, for example, we know that this is another way of talking about how the light, the light of Atzilus, or you say God's light, arrives at us. And there's different ways that it has different metaphors, or not only metaphors, but different ways, different levels of talking about this. One of them is talking about um, in the head itself. It's called Shiva Tekune. Shiva Tekune, I forgot what it's called. Galgalta, Get Krapa, Galgalta, Tal de Bedelcha, and this is from the Idra, where it talks about different parts of the head, and so to speak, how they give out light. So the Rizal had this metaphor, which he takes from the Idra Rabba, that God is a person, and or reveals himself as a person, and we cannot see his soul. So the neshama, so the Or Pnimi, the actual light cannot be seen. Is way too powerful, right? Like the Ramak that we read, like it would blind you like the sun. But therefore, there is these tiny, tiny little holes, as if in the body of the Atzilus, of whichever level you're talking about, and he talks about it in Akiv and Darizal, and there's the tiny holes, and what the odd that light that we could receive, or that the elements in general could receive, is akin to these tiny holes. So if you think of a person, like a skull is kind of a closed thing, like maybe the most closed part of a human, like it doesn't go anywhere, just this round, big, closed thing. But if you think, and that would, like, if you think of the mind of God, or of the mind, the Chachma Stima, it's called in Zar, the hidden, the Chachma. But we do want to get it. We do want it. It exists for us to know about it. If we're talking about it, then we should know it. And then, so what the Zohar does, it says, if you think about the actual skull, you see that it does have holes. It's not a closed space. It actually has all kinds of openings. For example, you could see that there's hair coming out of it. And this hair is organized in all kinds of different ways, which are each some kind of, it shows something. And in the ancient, in their way of thinking and science, they used to think that hair is somehow an outgrowth of the mind. It's like literally the mind is wetness, how do you call it, lecha. And here is something that grows out of the extra wetness of the mind. But anyways, even without that, we could see that the skull is not a blank wall. You don't bump into a wall. You actually have, well, relative, of course, relative to what's inside, it's nothing. Like it's like if you think of the amount of space that a hair takes up relative to what's in your mind. But it's something. And that's like a good metaphor, not only a metaphor, but that's how they see the first levels of God revealing himself to the world, which is called, then we go down, we talk about Idigamot Kinedikna, which is again part, another elaboration of that. And then we could talk about the different bigger holes even that we have in, that you have in your head. So this is like three different levels, just in the head alone. You could talk about these Sheva Tekin and Galta. We could talk about the Idom Tekin Adikna, which is probably the most revealed level in this, or one of the more revealed, like you have a whole beard. It's a big, relative to what's inside, it's nothing, but you could see how, and a beard is something that reveals, and it's like a certain clothing. It's like, I talk about that more about the beard. I think we discussed it in the previous thing a little. And then you have these seven holes, which are literally like, they're already organs. They're, they actually do things, right? Eyes can see and mouths can talk and so on. And noses can smell. It says in the parasha. And ears can hear, like we talk about God hearing tefillah, shema tefillah. And that's already, it's still only senses, right? They're not mind. They're not like what's inside, but it's different openings. It's shine, shivan akovim, that are seven. And then we could go down and talk about the entire body, right? So the same seven, is there seven in the head, and then there's another seven, right? Basically two hands and so on. Chagat na'i, that would be an even more revealed level of the same seven somehow. Anyways, this is the generally in Olam Atzilus, or in the best place where we have these like seven Nekovim. Now, it's true over there also, but it's even more true in Olam Asiyah, that these holes need to be very precise. That's what it, because the, like the Rizal is very insistent on all the time, the hiding of things, the enclosing of things is important because we can't see the king naked. Not only you can't, it's impossible. It's not like they're gonna kick you or something. And the fact that there is all these clothing, all these halbasha, all these different levels, and which the first one and the most significant one to him is the hair of the beard, or generally these holes and so on, is actually what allows you to see something. And therefore, you don't wanna destroy that. You don't wanna open everything, because that would just destroy the world. Now, the more you go down, in some sense, the more you go down, since we're in the Masiyah, So we need even more, what he calls here dinim. Dinim are just a different way of saying kailim or gvirus or tzimtzim. Because, in other words, if you think about it, in this world, just a tiny bit of light would kill you, because you don't have any way to receive it. If you'd be in Olam HaBriah, then you could probably have a lot more light without the transformer burning out. That's the better metaphor, actually. So therefore, this world, in order for us to have any kind of idea of God or any kind of light, you need to have the most closeness, you could say, the most yisosim echad mem, but we don't want to entirely close it, because then we would be totally in the dark. So we need a tiny bit of little holes that we could see through the light, but not too much and not too little. Anything, we need to be there in the Goldilocks position. That's all the time the problem, right? If you have too much light, then you have shvira sakalim. If you have too little light, then you have nothing either.
Technical question: what is this sandalphone?
I have not seen that
abbreviation before.
I have no idea. The truth is that I have no idea. I mean, okay. I know. One second. Let me read till I'll get there in a second. So now, in other words, we can't have the actual thing, only what comes through these little holes. So this is generally the tafkid of dinim. Their job is to not have too much ur, because then you get burnt out, or all kinds of different shviras akailims that happen. Okay, and now befrat ba'olam asiyah, as sham tzrichim adinim behechrach. Now in befrat ba'olam asiyah, which is this world or whatever olam asiyah is, because there we need even more dinim. Why? It's only like a connection that he's making. Kisham in inyasal sandals, well, what if you want to say the word, which shibi gematria par, shem sadhaik viris man tzbech shem gematria par. So in general, we know in Kabbalah that there's different malachim that correspond, malachim is the right name, to these different worlds. We have malach metat, which is olam HaBriah or olam HaYetzira generally. There's different word that corresponds to this that I don't remember. This malach, known as sandal, phone, that's why we have telephones, anyways, is known as the Malach of Olam HaAsiyah. This people know that, like it says in Zohar and Tekinim, it's a known thing. All the Mekabalim, the Rizal always speaks to you as if you know the basic Kabbalah, and it's just like making new connections. Anyways, all the Mekabalim know that Olam HaAsiyah has to do is where this Malach, known as this name, is. And it if you think about it, sandals means like a shoe. Like
a shoe, yeah.
In other words, because the Olam HaAsiyah is like the lowest part, so it's like the shoe of the four worlds. That's like one remez or pshat in that. This is the malach that runs that makes the sun turn and so on. Anyways, and that in the Arizal's version of things, sandal is gematria at 280, and everyone that learns Arizal knows that 280 is the Arizal's word for the gvirus, because the Arizal sees everything. One of these ways of seeing everything is in, we discussed this already, right? Earlier by the man Zipach. There's 22 letters. 22 letters are the kelim, or the divine light. The art is always comes through 22 letters, Osis HaTorah. And these 22 letters have five interesting ones, right? We have the whole discussion about them and the Gemara, Menatz Pech Tzayifim Amram, did Moshe Rabbeinu know about them, and so on. But there's these five end letters, Otiyot Sofiyot, which, as I usually see it, it's like ends the word, right? So it's like a special kind of letter just for ending the word. In other words, if you think about Hebrew letters as the creation of the world, like Sefer Yetzirah, you have like a problem that it doesn't end, like Sh'amal Elam Edai, like Rashi and Rashi's, that it doesn't end. And we kind of, in other words, if it wouldn't be Otiyot Sofiyot, words would never end. And then we would kind of never understand things, because we're humans and we only understand, we even have it's weird, but like we call a class of Torah, we call a shir, right?
Mm.
And even in Chazal, that's a very modern word, I think. I mean, relatively. But in Chazal, they called it a perek, like a perek mishnayos and so on, right? Pirkei Avot is perek was also what how they used to call their lectures, their public classes, right? The Shabbos haperek and so on. Pirkei, yeah, darshiva perek was like a perek. In other words, the same. It has the same. It works the same way as our word shir. Like shir is Because shear is just like people would have like, would like make, shear means a limit, right? Or like a, it technically means a limit, but what we mean is like a
measure.
What?
A measure.
Yeah, like a measure. In other words, someone would look at a book and it would say, well, let's measure it up. Let's learn one page every day. And that's his shear, right? And then if he learns it publicly, that's a public shear. Right? And from that, we have any public thing called a shear. And same thing with pedic. Pedic is just like a, pedic means literally like a, how do you, what's the translation of pedic? A part or something like that.
Yeah.
Al-tamad al-pedic. Pedic, actually, I think means like the end of a part in Tanakh. Not sure how it's in the Mishnah exactly.
Right, like lefarek is to take apart.
Lefarek is to take apart, right. But pedek, al-tamad lefarek, it says in somewhere in the Navi, I don't remember where. It means literally like don't stand in the end or something like that. Or like in the road where it ends or something like that. Anyways, pedek like has the same kind of, anyways, it has the same meaning. Like we had this big, you know, this big bunch of things, all the Mishnahs. And in order to organize it, we made Sidre Mishnah. Again, Sidre means order. So, and then we made Mesechtes and Perukim and so on. And then somehow when we talk about learning anything, we talk about the Perek. Because, anyways, this is my drash. Because human learning only works when we cut things up and so on. That doesn't mean that the truth is cut up. It just means that in order for us to understand it, you need to cut it up. And the smaller you are, like if you were in a lower classroom, like an Olam HaSiyah, like, right? If you go to a school, then first grade is Olam HaSiyah and third grade is Olam HaSiyah and so on. Yeah, it is. I mean, somehow it corresponds to that. And Olam HaSiyah, they need the most... the most dinim, right? They're literally learning aleph bet. They need things to end. You need like 5 minutes stops. You give a class, then they play already, you know? And that's what happens in... that's why in Olam HaSiyah we need a lot of dinim. In other words, we can't have an Olam HaSiyah without dinim, because then it would just, you know, if you give a two-hour class to toddlers, they'll just, I don't know what will happen. Try it out. It's not, don't try. It's not going to work. And that's gematria par. There's a lot of talk about par, right? The par also could mean a... I could put Adima, the male cow, and so on. Anyways, but that's the Arizal's Manzabach. But that's why if you keep on hearing the Arizal Manzabach, it's really, really important, because this is like one of his main blocks in his whole system, that you need dinim in order for anything to work. And there's thousands of levels of these, right? Until like the first Simtsum, which is some kind of Manzabach or whatever you want to call it. So therefore... Since we're standing at Olam HaSiyah, we're kind of explaining why we're stuck in this Olam HaSiyah, like why we don't break it and make it into some different Olam. That is all says in just, okay, no more associations. Now, so therefore, what we're saying, this is translating, so in other words, We have all these tefillahs like Psach Shari Shemaim, but if they open too much, then it's like Parshas Nech, Haribas Shemaim Niftuch, then we have a Mabul, right? So we don't want them to open too much, at least as long as the Olam HaSiyah. Maybe in a different Olam, they could be opened bigger. But the Olam HaSiyah, we kind of saying we can't open them too much, because then the world would be destroyed. The Chayin, same thing is the opposite. If it would be totally closed, then there'll be no rain, right? That's another good example. Like if you see the rain as some kind of like little holes in the sky that let the rain through. That's actually how Parshas Bereshis thinks of it. Because it couldn't, anyways. Then you will have nothing, then have only din, which is also not good. So we need like some precise amount of din and some precise amount of rachmim. And therefore we need both this exact balance. And that now he goes on to the next word. It says, Yefshad is kaim, afilu shah echas. Now what's shah echas? So he says, "Sha'echas v'haldeze yafshal leiskaim afili b'chinas amalchas shebasiya anikras sha'achas kneske b'tekinim tikas amachtas b'soid mazel shagoyim b'soid sha'imedes lai." So the tekinim translates an hour, a 1 hour, in the context of mazel shah, and there's like this discussion in Sechtes somewhere, Sechtes Shabbos, about different astrological levels. Like there's a machlokes in the Gemara, but like there's different ideas over there about, since we can divide time by different stars and stuff, right? Then we can divide it in general and we can divide it in more detail. We could say there's Mazal Yoyim, like every day corresponds to one of the seven whatever planets, or you can do every month, or you can do every day, or you can do every hour, or if you could even more than that, maybe. Anyway, so they had a machloek, which is the more important one. And there was one person, I don't remember the exact source, that said Mazel Shah Goyim. So it's, you can't if you want to know what kind of mazel you have, you can't count what week or what day of the week even. You have to know the exact hour. Anyways, the Tekinim, that's the astrology chat. And the Tekinim, as is usual, he didn't want to believe that it's only about astrology. And he said that this is really talking about different levels of Hashpa of the Sefiris. I don't know exactly what the other ones would be, but he said Mazal Shogoida means is the Malchus, the one that decides everything or not. So that's called Mazal Shogoida. Malchus Shah is the name for the Malchus. In other words, if, again, like the smallest measure of time, like the smallest, the most caught up level already. Although you could go further and say Rega or a minute or whatever. But anyways, to them, the Shah was the smallest. And that's the same thing that says Shah Medesle, right? That's a language of Chazal when they talk about someone that's momentarily being successful, right? Like time is the hour, it's his hour, right? We talk about the Rosh Hashanah is a Chekesler, right? The hour, he has a good hour. The hour is smiling to him. And the Zohar reads this quite literally as the Malchus has a moment of smiling to him. So anyways, this is him going back to his basic understanding that this is Olam Masiyah. So if we would not have this whole structure of Nekuvim, Chalilim, not too much, not too little. So even the Malchus Asiyah, actually the Afila doesn't really make sense because it's Dafka the Malchus Asiyah, right? According to him, the upper malchus, they maybe could survive. I'm not sure how he would translate the afilish shoachas, but the shoachas I understand. That's the maybe means to say because we want to arrive until this level, like we don't want to be stuck in a higher level, which would be if there would be only less nekovim or something. I'm not sure. Now and then. Let's finish the bracha. That's what we say. Valdeka and reife kolbasa. So what's reife kolbasa? So reife kolbasa is already reading this whole thing, right? It's again, it's going back on what we said earlier, right? It's reading this whole story of the nekovim as a kind of healing, right? So in other words, if you would not be able to do that whole thing, you would be sick and. This is like healing. And it's kind of weird because why would you talk about healing? This is kind of healthy functioning, right? You would have to say, Baruchat Hashem, Leda, Mekayim Brim, Leda, why Reife Cholim? Reife Cholbosa. In other words, they see it as if like when you have this, the things that you want to push out, it's like a sickness, like a problem. So it's a kind of refuah already. Anyways, Narizal reads it. In the more abstract sense, I think that the Shulchan Aruch and the Tod, they have a discussion about this. You have to look what exactly how they read it. And the Arizal wants to read this in the higher sense, where it says because everyone knows because meat is red, at least most meat. So meat symbolizes dinim always in Zohar and Arizal. In Asiya, or in other words. Since Asiya, he sees at the place with the most dinim. So Asiya is like meat, right? Like milk is already less. That's milk is white. So if you talk about Busa b'cholav, it means confusing chesed and gvura in the wrong way. For example, that's the Kabbalistic pshat. Although we want to confuse them, but not, I don't know. We have to think about what exactly is wrong with
Kabbalistic pshat?
In Busa b'cholav, right? Why can't we
mix No, I hear. That's just an oxymoron if you ever heard one, the Kabbalistic pshat.
Oh, pshat. I have pshat, I mean like...
No, Adarabha, the deepest level is when the pshat is the sod, no?
Yeah. Right.
Oh, but I don't mean that. I just mean the pirush, right? The interpretation. Kabbalist pshat is also means interpretation. I don't know what pshat meant. So, okay, anyways. This whole thing of pshat meaning pshat, we have to think if it's the pshat. Anyways. Maybe the pshat of pshat is just interpretation and anything could be I don't know. Maybe it means pashut. I don't know where to have to figure out the source of this different. Anyways, anyways, tachlis, so I don't know, but the earlier Kabbalist already talked about it. Busa b'cholav means gvura and din, and anyways, we need both, so whatever. You have to think about that or look what they exactly say. But anyways, reif chalbosa would mean healing the flesh. In other words, flesh is dinim, and also in the simple sense, right? Because flesh is already like the flesh, which is olam asiyah, which is, it's good, but it needs to have salt, you know, it needs to be dim tak. So these holes, they're kind of being mamtik the basa, and that's what we're whole thing is talking about. Like it should be nimtak, but it shouldn't disappear, right? We don't want to kill the basa. And this is, actually, I think he means to say this is through the Mafli Lassos. But what's Mafli Lassos? So Matlut Salama, ki mamshech hanesiv ve'olin hanikra pele. Ad oile masiyah. So pele is generally a word for pele elyon means basically, well, nesiv elyon means the 50th shad of Bina where it connects with Chachma. That's what pele elyon is supposed to mean. In other words, there's Chachma and there's Bina, and Chachma and Bina have a yichad, the yichad tmidi, which is a hidden yichad because nobody knows how to find it. And this is called the 32nd nesiv or the first shad because there's 32 nesivas in Chachma and there's 50 shadim in Bina, and the place where they both connect is called pele elyon. That's a klal. It's like a pele somehow. In other words, pele means hidden or means amazing, whichever way. And this Nesiv Elyon has something to do with this Hamtokas Adinim. Ado El Masiyah Kedei Lamatek Dinei Avzei Mafli Lasev. Nimrz Nasiyah Menes Lasev. So he brings the Mafli into El Masiyah. Nobody knows. None of the Mefarshim know what this Nesiv Pele Elyon is doing here. But that's what it says. In the Arizal's language, in other words, Pele Elyon means Yisod. Nesiv Elyon means Yisod Abba, which connects with Yisod Ima. Or something like that. So now we went back to we already read that. So this is all from Olam Atzilus. I think that he basically translated, he interpreted the whole bracha al pi kabbalah. But in general, I'm just gonna like put my idea, which is that. Like we saw earlier, and I saw the Shema Susan starts talking about something like this, that we know the simple meaning of this whole Ashi Yotza. In other words, it's really talking about the Yifna, the actual physical Yifna. And we discussed it in the Arizal, that this means that since this whole story, since we have the whole structure of Atzilus being the, what he calls the Moisres, in other words, the insides thing inside, and then what can be pushed out, what can be revealed, gets revealed, and that's how we know anything. This whole situation, this is another way of saying birurim, right? So if we say it like that, the keser took to himself the nicest part, the most pure, the most elevated parts of the world, and then what he can't be ma'akel, and he say what he can't digest, that's what he leaves over. So this is where the literal metaphor, also the literal situation of human digestion comes in, because this has to do with the Arizal's understanding that all these parts of him come out of the Shvira. So in a certain sense, it's like they actually took some food and made it part of themselves. And then whatever they could not make part of themselves, they pushed out. And now on Olam HaSalyonim, that's actually a good thing. In other words, just like we see the here, like to some extent, here is a good thing, right? Maybe not too much here. It's like everyone, whoever the Aminig is. But it's also in Olam HaSalyonim, in other words, too much here with Stam. It says, and you know, the Sefer Ben Sira says, if you have a big beard, you're a stupid person, you know. It's actually brought in the Tekunim, I think. And not always was having a long beard seen as a sign of wisdom. It was actually sometimes seen as a sign of stupidity. If you think, in other words, the here is just another way of saying what not digested. So in the Arizal's understanding, what gets part of the mind, what becomes part of the mind stays inside, and then what cannot be part of the mind gets pushed out. So that's like the shiraim, like we go to a tzaddik and you eat the shiraim, you know. And for the chesed, that's great, because what a tzaddik couldn't be mevarer is still very good for you. But for him, it's actually shiraim. And then this same structure can repeat itself 1,000 times until we get to olam asiyah da'asiyah, or malchus da'asiyah, in which what the malchus da'asiyah can't digest is literally klippas. Right, so this whole difference between klippas, between something being right, and even what humans can't digest could be like great fertilizer for someone else, right? It doesn't mean that just because you couldn't use it or you couldn't make good use of it, that it's evil. It's not actually evil. It's just not useful for you. And this is Darizal's understanding of evil in general, where he thinks that ra is a relative term. In other words, even what we call total ra is just one more step of the same process, one more step where it could not be digested by anyone, so it becomes sitrachta or whatever. And maybe Losed Love will figure out how to digest that and we'll fix even that. So that's and that's the Mafli Lasis. Narizal kind of chooses to not speak about the the lower levels of this, because he's very afraid of that. The Kabbalists in general, most of them, at least, until the Shapset Phoenix come along and so on. Or that guy, Berman, what's his name? Most of them don't like talking about levels where the same structure that they have become little evil, for the real reason that people don't like, it's not good to be evil. Because if you translate this into reality, then it's not just a nice joke. It's just like a real problem. You can really get dirty. So therefore, he kind of stayed in the head. If you noticed, he literally took this nekovim, like, even if you say, and I saw in the Ramak, he kind of plays on the same thing. If you say nekovim, right, as yotzeres adam, it's talking about the adam elyon, the adam atzilus. Okay, so why are you jumping to the holes in his head? I mean, we know where the holes are. Why are you jumping to the holes in his head? And the reason is that, of course, that Arizal knows where those holes are. And we discussed last time, he has an explicit rish in Etz Chaim that talks about that. But since he doesn't like talking at that level, so he kind of just talked about the higher level, which is the same structure. The rule, the general idea of Kabbalah is that you only have to understand the what I call the structure, or maybe the pattern. And the pattern is the same all over. So since we don't want to get dirty, we'll just discuss the pattern, which is the same pattern. Maybe it's even almost there, right? Like in Chachma Dasiya, right? But we're not going to discuss it in Malchus Dasiya or wherever the real story happened. But you can understand that it's kind of the same thing. And this is why it all connects back up, like to the Peli Elyon, because Peli Elyon is just the Keser or the Chachma, the Bina, which are all trying to do the same thing, which is show you something that's impossible to be shown, and it gets happening by this whole story called Dinim, and making things, giving limit to things, and being Malbish them, and having this whole order of how one person's trash is another person's gold, you know, so on. So that's the story of Asher Yetzer, as far as I can know today.
Thank you.
Sure.
Especially you. That last section, that's pretty deep.
Yeah, but that's...
That klipa is a relative term, which is because you can't digest it doesn't mean it can't be digested somewhere by someone.
Yeah, I think we discussed it more, but I'm going to, like, I don't know. I think it's enough said.
Amen.
Yeah. Thank you.